This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the legends, one of the sporting legends of, I mean, just the guy transcends everything. I mean, durability, production, class, grace. That is the amazing Cal Ripken, 19-time All-Star, 2007 Hall of Fame inductee. The Iron Man talking a little shop with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Cal, how are you? Welcome to the show. What's going on?
I'm doing really great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing well. You know what's funny? It's when we have football players on the show, like we get some of the retirees at the Super Bowl, they'll come in onto our set. And I'll always say, whether it's off air or on, you know, how's the body feeling?
Yeah.
We don't really ask Cal Ripken how the body's feeling. Maybe we should. How are you feeling physically? I know you play hoops. I know you keep yourself in good shape. All those innings without a rest. How do you feel right now?
No, I stopped playing basketball about 5 years ago.
Okay.
So. The back was bothering me. The knee was bothering me. And I just thought it was time to do something like riding a bike that was a little less stressful. But the body, I just finished playing a round of golf. And so that's always a good test. You swing in my game. You swing the club about 100 times.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, you sound like us. We should get together.
And the body feels a little achy, but you do realize I am. I'll be 58 this summer. So.
Wow.
It's a little different than when you were 25.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, you don't feel that old. I feel like you were just playing. Maybe because you played so long. It's interesting though when you think about how athletes, you know, transition out of sports and get into other things. And I always wonder, Cal, and for a guy who did it so long and so iconically for one franchise, which is with the Baltimore Orioles, if you had to leave, would that have been hard for you?
You know, I almost had to face the reality of leaving. I had a father that got a chance to be the manager, and our team wasn't very good. Hmm. And he was fired after a year and six games into the next season. And I was a free agent at the end of that year, so I thought the Orioles weren't the Orioles that I knew, and that I'd have to look for another place to play. And that was the most unsettling, three quarters of a year for me, because I was involved in trade rumors, and I kept thinking, you know, I want to control that. I don't want to come to the ballpark one day and have them call me in the office and said you've been traded to New York or Boston. And so I hung in there, and I finally got the chance to sign a contract, and it was important to get a no trade for that. So when I look at the Orioles now, you got Manny Machado, that there's constant rumors about him being traded and the value of trying to get something back. It's got to be an uncertain time for him, and it's got to be a really uncertain time for the whole team.
Do you think that the mentality that you were just talking about, how it affected you and you wanted to be there and you wanted to be able to control it, do you think the younger kids, especially maybe it's because of the money, do you think they think about that as much, the loyalty to the team that they came up with?
Well, you know, I always placed a value in it wasn't all about the bottom line dollar. It was about choice and where you wanted to play, where you wanted to raise your family, where you wanted to live. And I think those factors were, you know, very important to me. So maybe in contract negotiations, you negotiate early, you leave a little money on the table. But I think those sort of decisions, I placed a good money value on being able to decide. And maybe now, you know, a lot of agents want to get the highest dollar because, you know, that's their reputation for breaking the bank. But I still think there's a case to be made that you should look at your life and look at the choices in your life and gain some control of those and maybe give up some money in the process.
Hmm. You don't hear that too often these days. Good stuff. Cal Ripken, 21 years, couple of MVPs, 19-time All-Star Hall of Famer, talking shop with us here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, let's get back to Machado. You know, to me, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I mean, he's going to get traded. I mean, there's no doubt about that, unless you would challenge that. I'd love to hear it. But what I want to really know, Cal, you know, what was the breaking, like, what could the Orioles have done differently? Because, I mean, if I'm an Orioles fan now, I know the team's bad. They're going to be bad for a while. I understand rebuilding, getting a lot of prospects for Machado. But you get a player that good, that great, and you trade him eventually. You know, how does that happen?
Yeah, sometimes it's inevitable that the player just wants to go someplace else and play, or they want to test their value in the free agent market and, again, break the ceiling for whatever reason. I think, though, when you do develop a player like that and you got him really young out of high school and he was good pretty quickly, moved through the system very fast, got to the big leagues, broke in, and was a pretty much a star right away, you do want to figure out how you can extend, you know, control over him, how you can he's sort of a lifetime player that you and you have to make decisions early and kind of get him into the mix early. If you wait on long-term contracts, if you make him go to arbitration, if you do other things, you know, as a club, you're kind of challenging him to find out his worth. So he ideally is a player you want to hold on to. Even in a rebuilding process, you could rebuild around him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what happened along the process.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what's going to happen, you know, whether, you know, they trade him and get prospects back. It seems like that's inevitable at this point. But yep. He's a player that still everybody wants. And if you have him, I'd want to keep him.
Yeah, no doubt. Cal, let me ask you this. If the Yankees or the Red Sox put the best offer on the table, for obvious reasons, I mean, it would kill the Orioles to make the trade because you'd have to face them basically 20 times a year and maybe watch them win championships and all that stuff. But would you, if you were running the Orioles and truly the best deal was from the Yankees or the Red Sox, would you make the deal and suck it up in the short term to accelerate the rebuild? Or would you try to reroute him as far away as you can from Camden Yards?
No, I think I'm of the opinion you get the best possible deal. And whoever that, you know, because you should worry about building your team and putting your team together and not worrying about how he's going to come back and haunt you. So, if the best prospect deal, you know, came from someone within your division, I think you should take the best possible deal, get the best prospects for your own sake, and have your own timetable to win, and not worry about, you know, what's happening on the other teams. Because knowing if you put together a good team, you'll be competitive.
Yeah. I would agree with that too.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
I think you're right, Cal. Do you think there's other shoes you're going to fall, I guess is the best way to put it, in the locker room? Who else could potentially be headed out if this is a true rebuild from the Orioles standpoint?
Well, I think the funny part about a rebuild is, and some people forget, it's not just changing out your better players and trying to get younger players. I think it's also trying to align your younger players to all come along together. Because if you're going to build something, I think back to in my time, the Yankees, when the Yankees started to develop within, and they had a core group of people that came up at the same time, they were able to evolve and develop at the same time, and then they really could win together, play together, and had something. So I think when you do go through a rebuilding process, everybody seems to be on different times, so they could be a free agent or different contractual times. You'd like to get everybody in the same alignment so that if you have control of a young player for 6 years, that they're all in the same timetable that you can develop them. So I think alignment of those players, and it's not just trying to get the best for your star players. It's actually looking at the big picture and saying, okay, if we're really starting over, we need to get a good group of young players that can develop at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Cal Ripken, of course, Hall of Famer, the great Cal Ripken with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Cal, I come sometimes head down 95 to see my mom in Laurel, Maryland, and we stop at a rest area. I always go get Roy Rogers. I know that you guys are partnering, or you are partnering with Roy Rogers to celebrate their 50th anniversary. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have going on.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Is that I've always been very careful, you know, with my associations or partnerships or endorsements. And it has to make sense for me. And when I started talking to Roy Rogers, and they're a brand that is rejuvenating. I remember when I was a kid, it was a special treat to go out to Roy Rogers. We lived a nomadic life in the minor leagues. My dad was in the minor leagues, so when we traveled, Roy Rogers was our stop. So it had some meaning to me. And then throw on the top of that, you start talking to them, and they have the same sort of values that you have, and there's an opportunity to also raise money for the Caribbean Senior Foundation. You know, it seemed like an easy decision to make. So they are celebrating the 50th anniversary of existence. They are growing now as a franchise and as a brand. There's 53 stores, mostly in the Mid-Atlantic, but they have a nice growth plan. And I'm happy to be a part of it, to get them some attention and partner with them and also work together to raise money for the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation. So it's quite a partnership. And I'm heading to a store right now where they'll probably put me to work behind the and I'll find out what kind of skills I have. But it's been a great association for Roy Rogers, and it's been a great association for me. And I look forward to continuing that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's nothing, I mean, this, what a flashback. There's nothing like being in the backseat of your dad's car or your buddy's dad's car after a doubleheader or a weekend-long tournament, and you stop over. And I know the restaurant. I know going down to the Naval Academy. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, getting yourself some fast food and, you know, big dreams of the big leagues. That's good stuff, Cal. Let me ask you this. Got about a minute left. You're taking any direction you want. I would imagine it's somewhat favorable, but I'd love to get your thoughts on. We'd love to get it. General direction of the game, whether it's the pace of play, the neighborhood rule at second base, you know, the lag, just the game's trying to change, and I think it's evolving for the most part in a good direction. What do you see, Cal?
I would agree, generally speaking, that it's good to take a look at some of those factors. I thought the catcher's rule after Buster Posey got hit was a good rule. The object is to score a run, not to kill the catcher. And many times you get people coming around third base with their sole objective is to take out the catcher.
Mm-hmm.
I had some mixed feelings on the double play at second base. You know, I think sliding in aggressively and trying to upend the second baseman to really break up a double play is a good baseball play. And so I think in some ways, that took a little while for everybody to get used to. And having gone into a second baseman or shortstop 1,000 times and having had them come into me 2,000 times, I know what it feels like on both sides of that. But I think everybody's grasping the rule pretty well. You know, talking about outlawing the shift, I think, is not very good an idea. I think people should be able to play anywhere they want on the field.
Yeah.
Some of the saber metrics you know, might have gone overboard, but I think it's self-correcting after they start to figure out, you know, how well it works or how well it doesn't work.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
In many ways.
Hit the ball the other way, right? That's the way to go, right?
We're thinking about the game in the right ways, and we're not afraid of change.
Yep, that's a good thing. Cal the Iron Man, Cal Ripken. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cal.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.